Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We ask your presence to be with us in this meeting and to bring forth thy word in trueness without compromise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Before we begin our study this morning, I would like to show you that if you belong to a World Council of Churches church, you are taught one thing, and that is not to think for yourself. Yes, that is correct. You are taught not to think. Jesus said they will not go in, and neither will they allow others who are entering to enter. This is willful ignorance. And with this willful ignorance, I want to show you how they tie the World Council of Churches to the World Health Organization, which is one of the most diabolical organizations of all time. This is really why that we have to keep our eyes open, because we know how government locked down the Baptists to the Catholics, all the church leaders. They locked down the assemblies, wouldn't let people go to church in 2020. And we know that every church leader, from the Baptist to the Catholic to the Assemblies of God to the Mormons, and I listed at the time, I think about 20 different leaders of great organizations that said that if you're not a Christian, or excuse me, if you are a Christian, you'll take the jab. Well, I'm telling you that, you know, I don't care what YouTube has to say anymore. I've instructed Brother Sam to take us off of YouTube, because I think YouTube is a corrupt organization filled with devil-possessed people who, Brother Branham said, the world is worshiping Satan and they don't know it. He said that's the most diabolical thing in this hour. So if you go to one of those churches, you're going to hell. I'm sorry, in a handbasket, you're going to hell. 90% of the people who claim to believe anything don't. And only about maybe 10% God is dealing with. So, you know, their problems, it's not ours, but, you know, they want to censor. You know, it's interesting because Brother Branham said in the 50s and 60s, they should be censoring the filth that's coming forth from television. Now they're not only letting all that uncensored stuff come out, but they're censoring the truth. So I don't care about YouTube anymore. I don't care about any of them. We're going to go back to, we have our website and, you know, Rumble is just a kind of a side effect of backing up the system. But anyway, so you get from the website and you won't be getting it from YouTube anymore. I'm through with them. I'll explain it to you in just a minute, but I know that we'll be banned by YouTube and establish opposition to free speech, but I hope they kick us off permanently. Actually, I instructed Sam, so he didn't even put it up this morning. So if you're trying to get onto YouTube, I'm sorry, but I'm speaking in vain, because you're not going to get there. I think anyone who uses them instead of coming to our website directly is playing into their hands. You might say it's easier to go to YouTube than your website. No, it's just you're lazy. I'm sorry, but you people out there, especially millennials, that depend on websites like YouTube and Facebook, you just lost people, and you just don't understand what's going on. The CIA gave the first $400,000, or the NSA gave me the first $400,000 to Facebook. You know, we were on Facebook one time, and they kicked us off. So, you know, it just shows. I had people from South America say, oh, you got to go on YouTube. You got to go on Facebook. I said, well, okay, I said, Sam, go ahead and put us on. And we got on and got off one day because they kicked us off. And so, you know, they don't want this gospel out there. They don't want the truth out there. They just want a bunch of nonsense. You know, I had 4 JW show up this week, and so I knew that they were JWs because of a scripture they gave me about Jehovah is our God. And I said, yes, he is our God. And I said, and Jesus is his son. And I said, do you understand the word parousia? Oh, yeah, parousia, yeah, parousia. Do you understand that? Yes. I said, well, do you understand there's 86 different things that Jesus said would take place? He said 52 with Paul and Peter and James and John. you know, added the others to, there's 86. And I said, tell me 10 of them. He couldn't do it. I said, then you don't believe your own doctrine because, you know, the JWs believe in the parousia of Christ. But they believe it was 1914. Well, 1914 till when? You see, he's here now. And so, you know, I'm sorry, but the Bible says that, you know, that if you don't hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, which means pay special attention to it, you're going to hell. I'm sorry, you're just not going to make it. You just lost people. Now, you might think I'm talking tough. Well, yeah, I am talking tough. Because that's the facts. That's the cold, calculated facts. And I'm sorry, but that's God's word. So, anyway, so I think anybody that wants to use YouTube, wants to use Facebook and all these other things, that the devil's platform is the devil's platform. And they say, well, we'll just let ourselves, you know, we just won't talk about these issues because, you know, we just want to reach out and touch them. Give me a break. You're looking for money. That's all you're looking for is money. Now, we allowed them we allowed those things, but I've been banned many times, so, you know, I'm not going to hold back from what I say. So, anyway, so we're not going to use them anymore, and I'm sorry, but you're going to have to find another source. Now, we were on Facebook only 1 week, and we got banned. And who needs them, actually? They received their initial $400,000 from the NSA and are funded by the CIA. They are being used to track you, your every move. Who needs them? We only use them because some millennial in the message said it's easier to go there. So they said we would reach more people. Well, you know what? I'm sorry, but we're just going to do it the way we've always done it for 40 years. Now, from an article called World Council of Churches, Christian Commission. It says the World Council of Churches Christian Medical Commission was established June 1968 in Geneva. A little group of people gathers, called together by the World Council of Churches, WCC, the Christian Medical Commission, CMC, under its first director, James McGilvery, has been charged with the responsibility to promote the coordination of the national church-related medical programs and to engage in study and research into the most appropriate ways in which the churches might express their concern for total care help. Now, you would say, well, what does the World Council of Churches have to do with health? Well, you're going to find out that they are in lockstep with the World Health Organization, which is a demon-possessed people. I mean, listen. The World Health Organization, I found out early, around 2001 or 2002, that they were injecting a chemical into all the vaccines in South America and were making little girls bleed continuously until they were sterile. Now, not only did they do that in South America, the country of India sued them and won't allow the World Health Organization into their country and won't allow Bill Gates into the country. He's under orders to be arrested as soon as he shows up there. All right? Bill Gates. Why? Because Bill Gates, with no knowledge of medicine, no college education of medicine, no college education, period, actually. He's just kind of a good old boy. He's a thief because he stole his DOS 1.0 from a, or actually paid, he went to IBM, said to IBM, I've got a program that'll run on your personal computers. They said, good. What is it? He says, called a DOS. All right. He just made that name up during that meeting. Okay. Then after the meeting, they said, well, we would like to have a copy and test it out. So then he went to his friend. He says, hey, listen, I'll buy that copy of that program that you made. I'll buy it from you for $50,000. Oh, wow, that sounds pretty good. I'll buy it for $50,000. So he sells it to him, and then he turns around and makes millions of dollars off of it. Now, what else did he do? He stole the Windows program from Apple. Okay, they had a big lawsuit, and he stole. Listen, these guys are nothing but thieves. Didn't Jesus say that this age would come in with deception? They're nothing but thieves and robbers. They're all going to burn in hell, and I don't think the blood of Jesus Christ is going to cleanse them because they don't walk in the light. So, you know, they're on their own. And so anyway, I'm really upset, you know, that, you know, people are just so whimsical when it comes to the Word of God, you know. Anyway, the young CMC was born out of a long history of Christian involvement in healthcare. For over 100 years, medical work had provided one of the main focuses for Christian missionary work, the others being education and church planting. On their website, now this is their website, the WCC relationship with the World Health Organization and other international organizations such as UNICEF. Oh, give me a break. You know what UNICEF is? It's the United Nations. It's provided by the United Nations. You know what they did in 1980s? I was told by my company, I worked for Spirit Univac at the time, and they said, you know, you're going to donate part of your salary to UNICEF. And I said, no, I'm not. I donate more than that to, my church. I said, I'm not going to make the contribution. Then we found out that UNICEF was funding, they had funded $40 million worth of weapons to Angola. All right, to the rebels in Angola. $40 million worth of weapons to Angola for their resurgency, okay? UNICEF did that. And I told my boss, I showed him the thing, and he said, oh, well, then I showed it to a bunch of other people, and we all protested, and we finally they didn't make us do it anymore. But, you know, they were taking our money, taxation without representation. You don't have to pay those things. If your company says, I want you to donate, forget you. I'm not going to donate to anything I'm not sure of. It's like, well, take the jab, and everybody will feel good. Just a minute. Show me the MSDS sheet. Well, there's nothing on the MSDS sheet. Then this is just water? Well, even if it was water, it would have H2O and a few other things on it, but it doesn't. They were hiding it from the people. Did you know that 91% of the young children in UK, 91% of the people that were infected with the two jabs died? Zero of the unjabbed? 91% died. Out of 100,000, 91% died, while zero with the vaccine. Did you know there's a plague coming across Europe right now? And it's called Congo Crimea. And it's affecting, it's killing people in Spain. Did you know that only the jabbed are falling victim to it and the unjabbed are not? You know that it's nothing but deception in this hour, and you say, oh, we should just be nice and be sweet and everything else. I can't be nice, I can't be sweet when I see so much deception taking place in the world. Because this world is going to hell, and I don't wish it to go to hell. I would like to try to save as many people as possible, but they won't listen. They're too busy with their Facebook or their YouTube or watching movies or whatever. Instead of listening and learning and, you know, instead of getting news from a mainstream media, like, yeah, I'm going to read you some about the WCC. They said, don't you listen to anything about COVID except for that comes from a mainstream media. It just shows they're dumb. They're stupid. Yeah, I'm going to say the word stupid. They are stupid people. They're ignorant. And the Bible says not only ignorant are they, but they are willfully ignorant. Now, the WCC's relationship with the World Council, with the World Health Organization and other international organizations such as UNICEF, which I've shown you is bad, and UNAIDS, which was another thing. You know what? UNAIDS, you know who set that up? Fauci. You know what they do? They gave people, they gave them a drug. Oh, it has a Z in it. Yeah, AZT. It's AZT. And you know, they didn't do any studies. They just handed it out willy-nilly. Oh, is this going to work? And they gave them 500 times a dose that would kill them. 500 times a dose that would kill them. Then when they decide, oh, I guess we gave them too much, we'll cut it back. Well, then they cut it back and started to help some people. But they willfully killed people, and there's nobody going to jail for it. Willfully, Hunter Biden has committed all kinds of crimes, and will he go to jail? I doubt it. Will his dad go to jail? Biden, will he go to jail? No, he won't. He'll escape. And you know, these people, there's a dual, listen, If you do anything wrong, you're going to go to jail. Or either they'll even make up stuff against you to go to put you in prison. But if they want to do anything they want, hey, it's okay because they're Democrats. You know, the Democrats is what they are, okay? Now, they also said this, voices of lament, hope, and courage, a week of prayer in the time of COVID. This is the name of the article, okay? To commemorate a year since the World Health Organization, WHO, declares the spread of COVID-19 pandemic, the World Council of Churches provides this resource for a week of prayer. They also said, their words are in green. There is much information about COVID-19 in so many places from so many people. How do I decide what to believe and what not to believe? Now notice the wording here is making the case that we should not listen anymore or to anyone but mainstream media. What a lie this is. It shows they have chosen to listen to men who for money's sake will push a certain agenda. They went on to state, the ease with which information is generated and distributed has allowed us to share critical health information with many people. Unfortunately, the same tools are being used to spread misleading information. This shows they are not willing to debate openly. The Bible said of them, they are willfully ignorant, and they are willfully ignorant when they choose to turn down truth for lies. This doesn't say listen and learn from whomever has the best and most accurate and truthful information. It says stay away from anything that is not accepted by the mainstream media, no matter if they are wrong. What? No matter if the mainstream media is wrong, still listen to them? That's what they say here. Stay away from anything that is not accepted by the mainstream media, no matter if they are wrong. No matter if they're wrong. Ha ha. You know what? A bunch of idiots. And I'm telling you what, everybody that claims to be a Christian in this nation is an idiot. Except for those who are born again, bride of Christ. That's why the church is going in the tribulation period. Period. Because she's turned down, she is not hearkening to the voice of the Lord their God. They're just saying, well, we're a Christian, hallelujah. We do certain things. We have certain morals and this and that. No, you don't. You've allowed YouTube, you've allowed, the alphabet soup, whatever they call it, the LGBT, whatever. You know, they've allowed my LBT sandwich to be made into a group. Okay? Well, I'm gonna stick with my LBT and they can have their LGBT because I have no love for their sodomite agenda. Now, this is another lie. They lie to us. They give us the MSDS sheets that is blank and then expect us to make an uninformed choice. But he says, you should rely on mainstream media for the facts of COVID-19 because they verify their facts. They don't verify facts. They've got all these fact checkers that just spew lies. It's just all they do. All right. Mark Twain said, if you refuse to read the newspaper, you'll be uninformed. But if you read it, you'll be misinformed. What would you rather be, uninformed, not really know, and so you're going to check it out for yourself? Or would you be misinformed? Would you rather be misinformed so that you don't decide to check it out for yourself? So you'll be better off doing your own research. Then they say on the WCC website, the WHO and regional bodies are also credible sources of medical data. Who's credible? Fauci, is he credible? No. You know, Fauci never acted, when he graduated with a medical degree, he never went into medicine. Did you know that? Did you know that he might have the MD before his name, but he's not a medical doctor. He's never acted as a medical doctor. He's only acted as a administrator. All right? You know, all those years as an administrator, he killed millions with his AIDS project. He killed millions through his COVID project. So he's going to burn in hell for a long time. I tell you what. I'll stand against him. Now, who says the WHO is credible? The man in charge of them and your medical choice is not even an MD. Men in charge of WHO is not even an MD. He's just a person, okay? He's a slick-talking Willie. I have more science in my schooling than he does, all right? I have a minor in biological sciences. He is a lifelong bureaucrat with no medical knowledge like Bill Gates, who is another usurper who has no post-high school degree, yet he wishes to pontificate to you that you must eat bugs instead of meat. And he made his money off of deception to begin with. He stole another man's program, sold it to IBM for millions. What a phony he is. Didn't Jesus say this would be the age of deception? The article continues. All treatment claims must undergo statistical trials. Well, you know what? They say they must, but you know what they did? They didn't do statistical trials. They didn't do any trials. They just manufactured it willy-nilly and like, you know, Trump, who was just as culpable as the rest of them because he pushed for us, you know, speed it through. We should have known right then, just a minute. Anything that is manufactured that's supposed to help people needs to be tried because you don't know, it's all poisons. And you don't know how much poison you're taking. So he's just as guilty. I wouldn't vote for him if you paid me. All right? Until then, they are premature and best ignored. Until when? Until they go under a statistical trial. Well, then, what are you pushing forth their agenda for when they haven't statistically tried them? Okay? They didn't do it. Now, we should not be a part of the problem. Be prudent and only forward to others information that you have verified to be true and useful. I do that, okay? But they're not doing it because they just say, only rely on the mainstream media. It's not verified. It's not proven to be true. Visit the WHO website for the most updated information on COVID. I wouldn't touch them because they're a bunch of liars. Listen, why is the churches in America, so-called Christian, why have they allowed what has happened in Congress? Because they're not Christian. They're not Christian. Most people in this country, I'd say 99% in this country that claim to be Christian are heathens. They believe in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They believe in a Babylonian, Anu, Enlil, Ea. They believe in heathenism, paganism, and we say, oh, we should be nice. We should, you know, he mentioned God. Yeah, which God is he mentioning? You know, they won't pray in the name of Jesus. They say, in your name we pray. Well, right off the bat, it says who you're praying to. I want to know who I'm praying to. But they won't do it. All right? So the so-called Christian organization, the WCC, is in lockstep with the WHO, which is a notorious organization, which is known in India and many South American countries for its deceptive practices in making young girls sterile, promising their vaccines would prevent cancer while lacing them with deadly drugs to cause sterility and continuous bleeding and cancer. So their drug, what's that one that the girls take? No, the one that the girls take. It's human papillomavirus, HPV. All right. So they say, oh, everybody, all these girls, 13 years and up, you know, they should be taking HPV because it'll keep them from getting cervical cancer and everything else. You know what it's doing? It's giving them cervical cancer. All right. So don't trust them at all. And everything, even your own doctors, I wouldn't trust the doctors worth, they're not worth their, you know, I'll tell you one thing you can do with a doctor. You can go over your blood work and have them explain it to you. But beyond that, don't take whatever advice they give because they're taught by the book, do this. Use your common sense. Do your own research. All right? So this so-called Christian organization, the WCC, is in lockstep with the WHO, which is a notorious organization, which is known in India and many South American countries for its deceptive practices in making young girls sterile. Promising their vaccines would prevent cancer while lacing them with deadly drugs to cause sterility and continuous bleeding and cancer, by the way. Oh, what a deceptive age we are living in. Now, from his sermon, Influence of Another, Brother Branham said, I understand that everybody that won't agree and come into the international agreement of this fellowship that they're trying to form to unite all churches together, the Federation of Churches, that all that won't come in and unite with it, they're making them a little province. They're going to send them to Alaska. You might as well get ready for cold because it looks like it's coming. If you're not in the bride of Jesus Christ, you're going to go through this. You'll be shipped off to Alaska. And let me just read more. Currently, the largest of these FEMA facilities is just outside of Fairbanks, Alaska. The Alaskan facility is a massive mental health facility. What are they going to do? Deprogram you. It's a mental health facility. How are they going to do that? By injecting you with a COVID shot, which will change your W-2, your M-2 in your brain and cause you not to be, spiritual anymore. All right. The Alaskan facility is a massive mental health facility and can hold approximately, it can hold approximately 2 million people. All right. There are no roads. There are no airports. And there's only railroad access to the FEMA, just like the Nazi concentration camps of World War II. It has only an estimated capacity of 500,000. Now, just a minute. Just scratch my head. All right. It says it's made to hold 200 million people, but it only has a capacity of 500,000, which means that you're going to have four times as many people in it than actually it has capacity for. Which means that there's going to be overcrowding, there's going to be disease, there's going to be everything else. There's a huge, huge furnace on location. What's that for? To burn the people. All right? But it is made to house 2 million people. Talk about abuse and inhumane living conditions. 2 million people living in a facility made to hold only 1/4 of that amount. It is located near Elmendorf Air Force Base, northeast Anchorage, area of Anchorage, and is at the far end of the base. It is called the Garden Plot Facility. Yeah, just like the Garden of Eden for Cain, a slaughterhouse. Okay? Ilsen Air Force Base, southeast of Fairbanks, and operating Operation Garden Plot Facility, Fort Wayne, right east of Fairbanks. Okay. Now, a little background is that the Federal Council of Churches, officially called the Federal Council of Churches of Christ in America, was an ecumenical association of Christian denominations in the United States in the early 20th century. It represented Anglican, Baptist, Eastern Orthodox, there's your Orthodox, Lutheran, Methodist, Moravian, Oriental Orthodox, Polish National Catholic, Presbyterian, and Reformed traditions of Christianity. It merged with other ecumenical bodies in 1950 to form present-day National Council of Churches. By 1923, the member denominations were as follows. African Methodist Episcopal Church, African Methodist Episcopal Zion Church, Colored Methodist Episcopal Church in America, General Convention of Christian Church, Christian Reformed Church in America, Church of God in North America, General Eldership, Disciples of Christ, Episcopal Church, Evangelical Synod of North America, Evangelical Association, Free Baptist Church, Greek Orthodox Church, there's your Orthodox again, Friends, Methodist Episcopal Church, Methodist Episcopal Church, South, Methodist Protestant Church, Moravian Church, National Council of Congregation Churches, National Baptist Convention, Northern Baptist Convention, Polish National Catholic Church, Presbyterian Church in the United States of America, Presbyterian Church in the United States, Primitive Methodist Church, Reformed Church in America, Reformed Church in the United States, Reformed Episcopal Church, Reformed Presbyterian Church, General Synod, Romanian Orthodox Church, Russian Orthodox Church, Seventh-day Adventist Baptist Church, Syrian Orthodox Church. What does Orthodox mean? It simply means they claim origin. They claim to be, hey, we're the first ones. All right? We're doing things right. We're doing things as originally stated. Okay? Syrian Orthodox Church, United Brethren Church, Ukrainian Orthodox Church, United Evangelical Church, United Presbyterian Church, United Lutheran Church, consultative. Okay. Now, the National Council of Churches of Christ in USA usually identified as the National Council of Churches, NCC, is the largest ecumenical body in the United States. NCC is an ecumenical partnership of 38 Christian faith groups in the United States. Its members, and if you click on the link there, it'll actually take you to the listing of the groups. Okay, its member communions include mainline Protestants, Eastern Orthodox, African American, Evangelical, historic peace churches that has taken over the Pentecostal church, of which the Assemblies of God are the largest. Together, it encompasses more than 100,000 local congregations, 40 million adherents. It began as a federal council of churches in 1908 and expanded through merger with several other ecumenical organizations to become the National Council of Churches in the 1950s. Its interim president and general secretary is Bishop Vashti. Get a load of the name, Vashti. Rhoda? Vashti. What is Vashti? I know what it is, but just tell us.
It's a female god.
It's a female god in India. His name is Vashti, Bishop Vashti Murphy McKenzie. So he's an Irish, got an Irish, but he's got a name for Vashti. Got an Irish name, but he took the name Vashti. Female god. It's a pagan god in India. From his sermon, 10 Virgins, the Brother Brown said, the mark of the beast, take Revelation 13 just a minute. Revelation 13, 15, and just read what he's going to do. Revelation 13, 15, and he had power to give life unto the image. Now that is unto the Protestant churches, the Protestant churches. He had power because they made an image. The Protestant church, through the Council of Churches, is making a place where that all Protestant fellowship will have to be united. How many knows or read of the great united building they got for the churches of the world? I'll show it to you later. Sure, see, up there, just like the UN nations and all of them are there, every one of them, even to the Assemblies of God, they're there. They're there. See, it's dog eat dog, as a hog to its wallow and as a dog to its vomit. Right back with the same, absolutely, also denying their evangelical stand. And there you are, wanting to be big, want to act like the rest of the world, like Israel did when they seen the kings and said, make us a king. And they're doing it right in this message. Doing it right in this message. For numbers, that's all. For numbers. You see a picture here of the Pope in a Pentecostal church. I'm surprised he hasn't gone to one of the message churches, you know. And then you see the Pope with evangelical leaders. All right, so you got the evangelicals on one side, you got the Pentecostals on the other side. He's breached them both. All right. I've had Pentecostal people and the Assemblies of God has gone into the Council of Churches, which they just hooked themselves right up yonder with the old mother harlot. So every church or organization comes from Rome, there's a mother of it. And I'm not a Latter-day Saint or a Latter-day Rain or whatever you would call it. I don't want, and I'm not that, but I mean this, that men and women should be free in Christ to walk in the light, and every church should be the same thing. That's true. Now, we have a list of the National Council of Church members from the Wikipedia. This list of National Council of Church members and observers mentions the individual communions which are members of or observers of the National Council of Churches in Christ in the USA. Again, you have this whole list. I'm not even going to take the time to read it all. But you see, you've got all kinds of Orthodox churches, Coptic Orthodox, and you got Catholic, Greek Orthodox, and you got Greek Orthodox, you got the Hungarian Reformed Church, you got, you know, all these things, the Korean Presbyterian Church. I mean, it just lists them all. Baptist, everything. Orthodox Church in America, et cetera. All right. Now, this is, the United Methodist Church. Observer status, Church of Christ Scientists. Look at the headline in 1967. All right. Will Roman Catholics join the National Council of Churches? February 3rd, 1967. That was the headlines back in 67 and just 2 years after the prophet of God was taken from us. And how many people stood with the prophet of God? Will the Roman Catholic Church membership 46 million join the National Council of Churches constituent membership, 41.5 million. Well, it's more than that by now, I tell you what. Since 1972, Pentecostals have been in dialogue with the Pontifical Council for promoting Christian unity of the Catholic Church. Since 1993, they have been represented at the annual meetings of the Secretaries of Christian World Communions. An international dialogue was established between Pentecostals and the World Alliance of Reformed Churches in 1995, and another between Pentecostals and the World Council of Churches through the Joint Consultative Group authorized at the Harare, that's Harare, Zimbabwe, at the Harare Assembly in 1998. A new dialogue has been established. Now, I want you to understand this, because, you see, the World Council of Churches is actually stronger in Africa than it is here. All right? We have the National Council of Churches. They have the World Council of Churches. Now, a new dialogue has been established with members from the Lutheran World Federation in 2005. Groups that participate in the Charismatic Renewal and have maintained membership in their historic denomination have often formed positive relationship with the older classical Pentecostal churches. This comes when, in 1998, the group met in Harare, Zimbabwe, 1998. Now, what happened the other day? They're having a big meeting between Putin in Russia, and all the countries of Africa are represented around a big, huge table. And after Putin gives his spiel about coming together, unifying together, then the bishop who's in charge of the Russian Orthodox Church is given time to speak. And he speaks to everyone and says, look, we've been meeting with your groups and we're all going to come against the LGBT and the sodomite agenda of the West. Now, just think about that. The World Council of Churches is uniting with, not communism, with the Russian Catholic Church, who claims to be the original. Pope Francis is communist. Putin no longer is communist. He's capitalist. Now, Brother Branham has a whole bunch of quotes where he says, when the World Council of Churches joins together with the Catholic Church to come against communism. And he also has a bunch of quotes that says, when the Catholics join together with the communism, and we're looking at is as if they are one event. There are two events. You have Pope Paul, who is communist himself, has joined together with the communists in America. And now Putin, who is no longer communist, is gathering together with his Catholic Church, all the World Council of Churches to come against this country, this communist country. So what we used to think as one event is not one event. It's not one thing that Brother Branham says, and look, it was said in such a way that you get confused. You read it and you say, oh, I can't understand how these two things can be the same thing. They're not the same thing. You see how being very careful and being led of the Holy Ghost, you begin to see that these are two different things. And then you see what's taking place and you watch it, as I have this week. I watched he's not a cardinal, he's the bishop, the archbishop of the Roman Catholic Church. And he says all these nations are coming together, all these Africans are repudiating the agenda of the West. And we're coming together to fight it. He says to fight it. To fight it. And these events are taking place. So one event, communist Catholic Church unite together, Roman Catholic Church, with the communist in America, which used to be capitalist, but they're not, they're communists now. And now they're fighting against Putin and the Catholic Church and the World Council of Churches. I tell you what, it's very, very clear that these are two events. Now, from Wikipedia, the Free Encyclopedia Christian, and we'll get into that in numbers 18 and 9, or 19 and 20 of the study. From Wikipedia, the Free Encyclopedia, Christianity is the most prevalent religion in the United States. Estimated from 2021 suggests that the entire U.S. population of 332 million, about 63% is Christian. Now, I don't think that Wikipedia is too accurate. I think there's maybe 63% who are professed Christians, but they're fake. There may be a handful, as much as maybe 100, who knows, of true believers in America, of which you are one of them. The majority of Christian Americans are Protestant Christians, 140 million, 42%. Though there are also significant numbers of American Roman Catholics, 70 million or 21%, and other Christian denominations such as Latter-day Saints, Orthodox Christians, and Oriental Orthodox Christians, and Jehovah Witnesses, about 13 million in total, 4%. The United States has the largest Christian population in the world, and more specifically, the largest Protestant population in the world, nearly 210 million Christians, and as of 2021, over 140 million people affiliated with Protestant churches, although other countries are higher percentage of Christians among their population. The Public Religion Research Institute says in 2020 census on American religion carried out between 2014 and 2020 showed that 70% of Americans identified as Christians during the seven-year interval. In 2020, survey by the Pew Research Center, 65% of adults in the United States identify themselves as Christians. They were 75% in 2015. So what's happened? All right, 70.6% in 2014, 78% in 2018, 81% in 2001, and 85% in 1990. So they've gone from 85% in 20 years down to 70%. Why? YouTube, Facebook, get off those things. I tell you what, why would you put your children and their pictures on Facebook for other people to ogle over and decide, hey, do I want to kidnap this one or not? I've got their address right here. I know their friends. I know where to get them if I want them. Yeah. I mean, come on, people. You got to start thinking. We should be like the Amish and just avoid all that stuff. All right. They were 75% in 2015, okay, et cetera. About 62% of those polled claimed to be members of a church organization. Now, all Protestant denominations accounted for 48.5% of the population, making Protestantism the most prevalent form of Christianity in the country and the majority religion in general in the United States, while the Catholic Church by itself is at 22.7% of the population is the largest individual denomination if Protestantism is divided into various denominations instead of being counted as in a single category. The nation's second largest church and the single largest Protestant denomination is the Southern Baptist Convention. They are a member of the WCC. All right? Among Eastern Christian denominations, there are several Eastern Orthodox and Oriental Orthodox churches with just below 1 million adherents in the U.S., or 4% of the total population. Christianity is a predominant religion in all the United States and territories. Conversions into Christianity has significantly increased among Korean Americans, Chinese Americans, and Japanese Americans in the United States. In 2012, the percentage of Christians in these communities were 71%, 30%, and 37% respectively. John Coventry Smith, the Presbyterian ecumenist who heads the NCC's working group with the Roman Catholics, thinks the Catholicism will join a national council in 10 or 15 years. He stresses the indefinite article because the NCC will obviously be a much different organization if it includes the Roman millions. Speculation has been heightened by two significant events late in 1966. First, the amorphous U.S. Catholic hierarchy became the National Conference of Catholic Bishops, with an apparently more authoritative secretariat to administer a program between annual meetings. William Norgren, an Episcopal who is executive director of the SEC's Faith and Order Department, says autonomy is one of the criterion for membership in the NCC. With Roman Catholicism being, he observes, it's hard to tell if it's a series of United National Churches or a world church. If the latter, it's hard to see how they could join the National Council. Thus, structure, not size, could be the chief obstacle, and the Roman Catholic bishops recognize as an important step. The second significant move came from the other side. In December, the National Council's General Board added the Catholic Church to the list of non-members recognized as agreeing with the brief doctrinal requirement in the NCC. Now, they would never get us to agree with their doctrine. All right? Communions which confess Jesus Christ as divine Lord and Savior. Well, I'm sorry, but Jesus Christ is a Son of God. All right? And anyway, I'm not going to get, he's not a Trinity, okay? The immediate effect of the actions, Spokesman said, was to make Jesuit David Bowman, a legitimate staff member of the NCC's Faith and Order Department. Now Roman Catholics can be hired freely and included as participants in programs and agencies. So you don't think there's an infiltration taking place? If they can hire Catholics to run the WCC or the NCC, you don't think, listen, why do you think LGBT movement is so accepted amongst the young people today? Because the teachers are a bunch of queers. And they hired them willy-nilly. And they're teaching your children what you should be teaching them. Although they're teaching them the opposite. Like I said, if you're going to let your child go to a public school, which is a devil school, you better meet with them on a daily basis and find out what they were told. Because I'm going to tell you what, if you don't, you're going to lose your child. All right? Observers also saw it as the first step toward Roman Catholic membership. But Monsignor William W. Baum, soft-spoken director of the Roman Catholic Bishops Commission for Ecumenical Affairs, cautions that it should not be intercepted or interpreted as a step toward membership any more than is similar recognition of the Southern Baptist Convention by the NCC. The member issue has come up informally in the first two meetings of the joint NCC-RCC commission. But Baum said the consensus of the group is that the question is premature. We should know more about each other. He said the commission will look at the possibilities, and this is one possibility. But as to whether it will occur, Baum said, I just don't know. In other words, this is back in the 60s when he's saying these things. Okay. Baum said also the National Council of Churches would be changed significantly if several of its major members of Unite under the Consultation on Church Union. Norgren said his staff has spent more times on that question than on what would happen if Rome joined. Now, the article continues. Unlike the Roman Catholic talks with various Protestant confessional groups, which treat the Holy Spirit, baptism, and other theological issues, the talks with the NCC center on such practical interchurch irritants as mixed marriage and public aid for parochial school. A third, less developed topic for study is world peace and justice. The Joint Commission will hold its next meeting in May or June, probably in New York City. Roman Catholics also participate in the annual Faith and Order Colloquium under NCC auspices. While any Roman Catholic affiliation is far off, we can't exclude anything for the longer-range futures, Norgren says. The NCC might get a significant new member in the next few years, perhaps by 68. The 2.5 million member American Lutheran Church, which stayed out under terms of its 1960 merger, is presently studying NCC ties. All right. Now, I know that some of this stuff is probably boring as get up for you, but I want you to understand where it all came together. Although an NCC-RCC link may sound far-fetched, New ecumenical ground can be broken pretty fast these days. Only a few years ago, Roman Catholic churches and cities and state councils of churches had nothing to do with each other. But today, the New Mexican State Council and at least 21 city councils have Roman Catholic members, report John K. Ketch. You know, there was a time in this nation that you were forbidden to be Catholic and run for president. Now we've had, we had Kennedy and we've had Biden. You know? And next, who knows? Could be RFK Jr., could be, Pelosi's nephew, or it could be DeSantis. They're all Catholic. All right. Actually, the figures are probably higher. They're running way ahead of us. We can't keep up with them. Okay. The NCC has no structural link with local and state councils, but their functions are similar. Ketchum has an NCC department that advises and surveys the local council. So it's down to the local level. Oklahoma City Council was one of the first to include Roman Catholics. Other major cities to follow were Seattle, Fort Worth, Tulsa, Austin, and Grand Rapids. Kansas City has such a move under discussion. Now, you think, well, you know what? You know, the Catholic Church has no teeth. Now, let me tell you something. They said they get down to the local level. Did you know that every priest, one of his duties is to keep a report of activities locally, and then he sends them to the archbishop, and then the archbishop compiles them and sends them on to the Vatican. Did you know that there's a church in Poland that when they opened their doors within the first week or two, they had a priest at the door, and he wanted a full detail of what they believe and everything else. Yeah, they don't have control. I don't think you're thinking too much. Okay? You're thinking hope so, not know so. All right. At a secluded retreat north of Italy, teams of Roman Catholics and Anglican theologians last month held a serious dialogue founded on the Gospels and on the ancient common traditions. The 3-day session produced one announced result. Establishment of a special group of study of the theology of marriage and the problem of mixed marriages. Protestant, Anglican, and Orthodox churchmen have been insisting that the Vatican ease its conditions for mixed marriages beyond the slight modification issued by Pope Paul VI last year. Now, you could go back and listen, and Brother Branham himself was against mixed marriages. But where is that today? Where is it today? It's not spoken of at all. All right. A communique issued after the sessions noted that the dialogue had gotten underway as a result of common declaration of Paul and Arthur Michael Ramsey, Archbishop of Canterbury, after their March 66 meeting. That declaration affirmed the desire of the prelates that all these Christians who belong to these two communions may be animated by the same sentiment of respect, esteem, and fraternal love. 10 Roman Catholics and even and 11 Anglican theologians participated in the talks at Villa Cagnola, the retreat of the Archbishop of Milan. Their communique said that after 400 years of separation, the two churches had taken first steps toward restoring full unity. Full unity, okay? Religious News Service reported that besides thoroughly exploring both the possibility and the advisability of continuing the dialogue, the participant delved into a variety of practical problems and agreed to submit to their hierarchies a number of recommendations aimed at easing tensions and building cooperations and understanding. The Joint Commission met under the chairman of Catholic Bishop Charles Helmsing of Missouri and Anglican Bishop John Moorman of Ripon, England. A World Council of Churches was represented at the meeting by an Associated General Secretary, Father Paul Verghees, a priest of the Syrian Orthodox Church in India. Pope Paul intruded indirectly into the dialogue by publicly reaffirming the concept of his own infallibility while the talks were in progress. The Pontiff report told an audience of several thousand pilgrims at the St. Peter's Basilica. Now, here is the magisterium of the church, which sits in its most authoritative chair and which exercises one of the supreme functions, that teaching not an ordinary science, but the Word of God, and the teaching it in the name of Christ, of interpreting it and guarding it against its genuine meaning, and if necessary, if an infallible way, in certain special cases and certain solemn forms. The same week, the Pope issued a new decree on indulgences that was seen as a disappointment to many who had been hoping for a major overhaul. Official commentators took care to insist that the new document does not imply any change in doctrinal aspects. It is seen primarily as an effort to inspire the faith through the greater fervor of charity and more intimate union of all the members of the so-called mystical body. The chief effect seems to be a drastic reduction in the number and forms of indulgences. Many historians say that the Reformation was precipitated by the issue of indulgences. To this day, Protestants find indulgences difficulty, if not impossible, to understand. Yet for centuries, they have occupied a prominent part in the devotional life of Catholics with the positive encouragement of the Church, especially in commemoration of the deceased. Now, the Catholic Church is not the only church that believes in indulgences. Did you know that right in this message, they believe in indulgences? I'll tell you how they do it. If you're a millionaire and you're a homosexual, you're allowed to come to church. In fact, one church has 10 of them. He has a lot of money coming in, so he just lets it all hang out. He just lets it all go by. That's an indulgence, because if you got favor with the pastor, or with the priest, so to speak, you have favor with God. No, you don't. I'm sorry, but all your tithing is despicable. You know what they're doing. Okay. Now, have something to add to this? See something we missed? Share your feedback. Okay. Now, from the Catholic Church and Ecumenism, in 2009, from the Te Deum Ecumenica, 2009, their Metropolitan Cathedral of Santiago, Chile, featured clergy of different Christian denominations. So they're showing a picture here of different denominations all having one service. Okay? Why is the Catholic Church not part of the WCC? Despite a shared commitment to common witness within the one ecumenical movement, the Roman Catholic Church decided in 72 not to seek WCC membership, in part because of the disparities between the structures, self-understanding, and size of the Roman Catholic Church and the WCC and its members. In other words, they're the same size as the Protestants, so why should they then become part of the Protestants? Why don't the Protestants become part of them? That's the thing. But the real reason is because of this. How can the beast be part of the image of the beast? The Bible says they are two, the beast and its image, so naturally they could not be part of their own image. That's the real reason. The image is like the original, but not the same as the original. It is made like unto the beast, but it isn't the same. So it could never happen. The Catholic Church has engaged in the modern ecumenical movement, especially since the Second Vatican Council, 62-65, and the issuing of the decrees, and the declaration, Dignitatis Humani. It was at the council that the Pontifical Council for Promoting Christian Unity was created. These outside of Catholic Church were categorized as heretics in reference to the Protestant, or schismatics, as in the case of Eastern Orthodox Church, or Oriental Orthodox Churches. But in many contexts today, to avoid offenses, the euphemism separated brethren is used. In other words, let's just dumb down the language so they can all agree. Let's call them gay instead of sodomite. So there's less of a stigma. Let's call them separated brethren instead of heretics, so there's less of a stigma. You see, it's all rewording. Ecumenism. From the Greek word oikoimene, means the whole inhabited world, is the promotion of the cooperation and unity of Christians. The unity of Christendom is a traditional Catholic view of ecumenism. The view is that every non-Catholic Christian ecclesiastical community is destined to return to the unity of the Catholic Church. How do they do that? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, from which it has broken. As the original church founded by Jesus Christ according to Catholic doctrine, the church sees itself as the one true church. This means that according to such teaching, Christian unity is already a reality present in the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church's commitment to ecumenicism was based on the conviction that a divided Christianity openly contradicts the will of Christ, scandalizes the world, and damages the holy cause of preaching the gospel to every creature. All right, we just have a little bit left. The search for Christian unity was one of the principal concerns of the Second Vatican Council. This was attested to even from the moment the council was announced by Pope John Paul XXIII. During the Vespers closing, the octave of prayer for Christian unity on 25th of January 59 at the Basilica of St. Paul outside the walls. The Catholic Church is committed to working for the reunion of all Christians. But the exuberant spirit following Vatican II has been tempered. Sober minds realize that the road to full unity will be long and arduous. One of the principal ecclesiastical tasks is to discern the relationship between the churches. Underlying the Catholic Church's pursuit of ecumenism is its recognition that elements of sanctification and truth are found in other churches, that in some sense these are Christians and particular churches or ecclesiastical communities, and that common baptism itself impels those toward greater unity. There you go. Common baptism. Name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Since baptism is a gift which belongs to the Catholic Church as one of the sacraments which Christ endowed with it, it can be said that ecumenicity of the Church is another way of expressing her radical Catholic and or universality. The director of the application of principles and norms or ecumenism states that bishops of the Catholic Church, individual for their own diocese and collegially for the whole church, are under the authority of the Holy See, responsible for ecumenical policy and practice. For more than 50 years, the member churches of the WCC and the Roman Catholic Church have jointly fostered unity, theological reflection, and solidarity in service. The Roman Catholic Church is the largest by far among those churches that are not members of the WCC. Cooperation between the Roman Catholic Church and the WCC continues to grow across all aspects of the WCC's work for a common Christian witness and service, especially following their visit of Pope Francis to the WCC in June 2018. The joint working co-sponsored by the WCC and the Roman Catholic Church is an effective tool to strengthen this cooperation. Created in 1965, the year William Branham left us, immediately followed the Second Vatican Council. The group brings together its 20 members annually. An executive group meets twice in between. The group's two co-secretaries, one from the Pontifical Council for Promoting Christian Unity, in other words, Catholic Church, and one representing the WCC, help to coordinate contact between the WCC and the departments or dicasteries of the Vatican. Now, from the handwriting on the wall, Brother Bram said, "Listen, friends. There isn't a thing this very hour, in the next 25 minutes or 10 minutes, for Russia to send up its satellites and sweep it over here across this nation. Train its missiles and say surrender, or in 2 minutes, you'll be nothing but dust. You can do it right now. Think of it. Or they can do it right now. Think of it. They can do it right now. What would happen? Plane load after plane load, shipload after shipload of ungodly communistic soldiers would swallow our lands, would grab our girls and take them into the street and treat them like cattle, ram a sword through them, go into our homes and take our wives out and bust the baby's head against the wall and ravish our women. You say one thing, it belongs to them, You say, will our Pentagon surrender? You sure it will. That'd be the only sensible thing for it to do. It would have to do it. If it didn't, we'd be nothing but powder in a few minutes. We'd have maybe a few more hours of life. But what a slaughter. What? They may be loading on the planes right now. The ships may be in the harbor. Soon these things that we're talking about can be a reality. There's not one thing left for it to happen to keep it from happening. According to the prophecy, here we are, and next week, you don't know what condition you could be in. The handwriting is on the wall. We are weighed in the balance and found wanting. Now, Putin is getting ready to annihilate this sodomite country. Listen to his language. Listen carefully to non-mainstream media, and you will find that Putin is talking about nuking this ungodly country. He's talking that his country is a godly Christian country that does not believe in the sodomite and the LGBT movements of this nation. He's now addressing all of the African countries and saying, let's do it together. Let's fight this together. So it's later than you think. And today was kind of dry, but I want you to see the formation. And I want to see who their allegiance is to. The World Council of Churches is aligned with the WHO. Don't ever forget that. Because the WHO is nothing but a dictator that doesn't even have a doctor's degree. He's not even a medical doctor that's running it. He's a bureaucrat. All right? And he's controlled by the WEF. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this word. We thank you for this study. And Lord, help it to just sink home what hour that we really are living in. When we see Russia and all the World Council of Church members in Africa saying, hey, we've got to come against this sodomite agenda in the West, these communists in the West. So, Lord, we recognize this, and we recognize that there is a war that's going on right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I hope you understand. I'm not angry with anybody, but I am angry with an agenda by Satan. This is Satan's Eden. We're going to go back to Satan's Eden. We're actually in it, but kind of took a waylay with some of these sermons. But we're going to get back into it. And you see the things that Brother Bram says are actually taking place in this hour. So anyway, God bless you all.